I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll, and you are listening to Beyond the Headlines on Reno Public Radio. Today on Health Watch, we will be talking about heat stroke with Dr. Jaron Blake, an associate professor of family medicine at the University of Nevada School of Medicine and physician at the Patient-Centered Family Medicine Clinic at the university. Welcome, Dr. Blake.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Dr. Blake, with record-setting temperatures this week, it's important that people understand the dangers of heat and how it affects our health. Can you tell us first, what is heat stroke?
Heat stroke has a medical definition where one's core body temperature is above 104 degrees. Heat-related illness happens across a spectrum of temperatures and across a spectrum of people. Essentially, it's when we are not able to compensate as well as we would like to during extreme temperature.
So what are the signs and symptoms that we should be looking out for?
Unfortunately, there's no magic, hey, this is what you've got to look for sign. It's a lot of the vague things that can be associated with other illnesses and that a lot of people get on a regular basis. Nausea, sweating a lot, headaches, many of these subtle signs. But taking those into consideration during a heat wave, then we can put that into a better clinical context and know how to better treat ourselves.
What are the risks associated if you think you're having a heat stroke or you have heat exhaustion?
People who are already at risk of other illnesses are the ones that are at greater risk for heat exhaustion and heat stroke. So specific populations that we worry about most would be the elderly, the frail, other conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, and other illnesses that affect blood vessels make us more prone to developing heat stroke and heat-related illnesses. Another thing, when we look at the data regarding heat-related illnesses, the longer a heat wave, the more at risk we become. So one or two isolated days is not nearly as harmful to us as, say, a week solid. So there's something about a day-to-day exposure that then has a cumulative effect that makes people more ill and more prone.
Can they be deadly?
Yes, they can. In fact, we have on record some heat waves, some of which have been in Nevada, where thousands of people can die from long periods of extreme heat.
Well, you mentioned that it affects mostly older people, but can youth get it? I know many participate in summer camps and they're outside all day. What should we be looking for in children or anybody participating in outdoor activities?
When we look at heat-related illness, two categories come to mind. There are those that are exertionally related. That's someone who's out proving that they can run a marathon in the middle of the day. They're going to be at higher risk of having a problem. And then there are those who are frail who are just due to their inherent weakness and frailty are going to be unable to compensate. For those who are exercising, and we live in an active community, avoiding the heat of the day can make a huge difference. Just a few degrees can make a huge difference in how much we can tolerate our exercise and continue on our ways, or moving that workout from pre-dinner to pre-breakfast.
So what's the treatment for heat stroke?
Keeping cool. It is easy to say, oh, stay in an air-conditioned home or do all these things, but we have faulty air conditioning, can't afford to run it at the levels needed, and especially during a heat wave, that can be more difficult. For that, I would suggest that one of the best things we can do is try to take care of one another. If you have a neighbor who's more of a shut-in, stop by, swing by. If grandma's here in town or mom or dad, take them to an early dinner where you can get them out of their home, because this cumulative effect, getting them into an air-conditioned restaurant or go hang out at the mall, those are exercises and interventions that the data actually supports that makes a difference in someone having a problem.
And you're listening to Health Watch from Beyond the Headlines. I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll speaking with Dr. Jaron Blake about heat stroke and how it can be prevented. So if you think you're having a heat stroke and you have some of those symptoms that you previously mentioned, like nausea, headaches, what should you do? Should you go immediately to a doctor, or are there things you can do at home?
As this is along a spectrum, there are a lot of things we can do at home. And if things are getting very severe, then you want to get into an emergency room in terms of if your balance was out or your thinking is off. Unfortunately, when you're the one with your thinking off, you may not recognize it, and that's why it's good to have someone watching over you. that would be an indication to get in and seek medical care. If you're feeling just a little bit off and so on, if you're outside doing activities, stop, go in, cool down, get yourself out of the environment that's causing your symptoms. If that environment is your home, then maybe you need to get to a mall or a restaurant or go visit your kids or go somewhere else where it might be more cool. But changing the environment is probably our best method.
Well, we know Northern Nevada is you know, very popular for outdoor activities such as hiking and bike riding. And, you know, there's several running events every weekend. Are there specific precautions people should take? I know that we always read, keep hydrated. Tell us more about some things that we can be doing to prevent heat stroke.
In terms of hydration, generally speaking, we do pretty good. In fact, there's a growing body of literature that says we might actually be hydrating a little too much when we're exercising. And it seems to be inversely related to how good you are at whatever the event is. One of the best things to do to get a gauge on this is to weigh yourself before and after exercise. If after roughly an hour of exercise, your weight hasn't dropped more than 2 pounds, you're probably appropriately hydrated for your activity. The single best guide is if you feel thirsty, drink. As it is to what we should be drinking, one that many people love to hear that after workout, good old low-fat chocolate milk is probably the best replenishment solution out there. But really kind of listening to what your body's saying is our best defense against heat-related illnesses.
Well, Dr. Blake, as a practicing family physician, what is the best advice that you can give your patients about preventing heat stroke?
Be aware of your situation, be aware of your environment, and if things are warm in your home, find someplace cooler to be. When I talk about changing the environment that you're in, sometimes that's not practical to get to a mall or to a restaurant, but there are things we can do in our homes as well. Taking a cool bath is a way to help cool down. If things are kind of rough in a home, there's a old and tried and true method of dipping a sheet in a bucket of water, hanging it up and blowing a fan through it, in a sense, making your own evaporative cooler right there in your house. Finding the cooler parts of your house to hang in. The difference of a couple of degrees when it comes to heat-related illness actually can make a big difference in your body's ability to compensate for the heat. If you're out exercising and you're feeling woozy, you're not feeling right, stop, get to a place in some shade with some breeze, cool down, and modify your lifestyle and your habits, especially during these heat waves. It is remarkable how when we get a heat wave like we have now, where deaths and other problems that come from heat-related illness really spike, and especially the longer it goes. And so really the best thing we can do is watch out for each other and watch out for ourselves by improving our environment that we're in.
Well, thank you, Dr. Blake, for sharing your insights and knowledge today about heat stroke and how we can recognize the symptoms and also prevent them.
Thanks for inviting me in.
Dr. Jaron Blake is an associate professor of family medicine at the University of Nevada School of Medicine and physician at the Patient-Centered Family Medicine Clinic at the university.